Although at the time I was not a Catholic, I remember it vividly. I was visiting family in Houston, Texas, when on the 2nd of April in the year 2005, the news came that Pope St. John Paul II had died. Perhaps you remember the images around that time. But one of the things that's so remarkable about the day of the Pope's death is that it was the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday. And you might remember in the events that followed and the 5 million plus people that were there for Pope St. John Paul II's funeral mass at St. Peter's and that very simple wooden casket that his body was laid in, that it brought in a particular way to fulfillment something that was at the heart of his whole papacy, the mercy of Jesus. And of course, we know the Pope, as the Pope from Poland, had a very close affinity with St. Faustina. But one of the interesting things about the Divine Mercy Journal is that it was only officially declared something that the Church could support after Pope St. John Paul II became Pope in 1978. Partly this was due to translations and that there were concerns as to what the journal said. But after much deliberation and study, the Divine Mercy Journal, the Divine Mercy Devotion became something central to the life of our church. St. Faustina had the apparition, the vision of our Lord in the early 1930s. And part of what he, the Lord, did was not only give her the image of Divine Mercy, but also shared with her the words that were to be incorporated into the chaplet of Divine Mercy. And listen to these words. "Jesus, you expired, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy." So we need to remember, right? These are the words that Jesus himself gave to Saint Faustina. And how does he describe his mercy? It gushes forth. It is a notion of mercy. I remember once being on Long Beach at Tofino and looking out onto the Pacific Ocean. It's really big. There's a lot of water. And the Divine Mercy of Jesus is like the Pacific Ocean. And listen to the last part. It opened up for the whole world. Think about this. 1933, what's happening? Nazism, the horror of what was going to occur in Europe. And we see perhaps a kind of parallel today with what Russia is doing in Ukraine. That we seem to live in a world where men go mad and they think they have the power to just come in and destroy whatever nation they want to. But in a world like this, Jesus is always gushing forth his mercy because we so need the mercy of God. Pope St. John Paul II, in thinking about divine mercy, coined this beautiful phrase. It's called the law of the gift. The law of the gift. And this is how he phrased it. "We are at our best," says Pope St. John Paul II. "We are most fully alive and human when we give away freely and sacrificially our very selves in love for another." Giving ourselves away sacrificially in love for another. Jesus, in John's Gospel, put it this way: "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends." And Bishop Robert Barron summarizes it in the following way. "The more you give your being away, the more your being increases. The more you cling to your being, the more your being decreases." So the more we give ourselves away, the more we become alive. And how beautifully expressed this is in today's reading from the book of Revelation, where St. John sees the glorified Jesus, the one who had truly given himself away on the cross, is now glorified in heaven. And St. John tells us, "I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash across his chest." Who is the Son of Man that St. John sees? We need to flip back to the Old Testament, to the book of the prophet Daniel. And in the 7th chapter of Daniel's book, we have ancient dictators, ancient despots like Vladimir Putin, although he's not named there. But there we see other world leaders who try to dominate and control the world, not by giving themselves away, but through the exercise of profound and horrible power. They try to destroy others. But in the midst of a world gone crazy, there is the image of the Son of Man. And listen to these words from Daniel chapter 7. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days. And he was presented before him, and he was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples and nations should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall never pass away. Who is this? This is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Man. What is his kingdom? His kingdom is based on the law of the gift. His kingdom is the kingdom of divine mercy that gushes forth an ocean of love. And this, my beloved brothers and sisters, is always the challenge. Because in a world that is so lacking in mercy, we can sometimes think, is it true? Can this gospel really mean what it says? Because, like, if I look at the world around me, the empirical evidence seems to say, I don't know, I'm kind of like Thomas. Unless I can put my fingers in his wounds, I don't know if I'm going to believe. Isn't it great that one of the 12 was skeptical like that? But here's the beautiful thing, that when Jesus does show up to him, what does Jesus do? He doesn't sort of focus primarily on his glorified body. He says, no, Thomas, I want you to touch my wounds. I want you to touch the place that represents the law of the gift, of my giving myself completely. One of the most famous paintings by the Italian painter Caravaggio. You might look at this at home too, where you can see it even more clearly. But here we have St. Thomas in the middle of the picture, and what he's doing is he's kind of looking forward, but he's sticking it right into the wound on Jesus's side. On Jesus's face, his lips are open a little bit, and it's almost as if there's pain in his expression. So although he is resurrected, what Caravaggio is focused on here is the reality of the wound. It's worth spending some time meditating on this painting. I did this last evening. You can just Google Caravaggio, The Incredulity of St. Thomas. That's the name of the painting. And it just is such a vivid depiction of today's gospel reading. Because what happened to Thomas? As he touched the very wounds of mercy himself, he is the first of the apostles to proclaim a creed. My Lord and my God. What does it mean to say that he's my Lord? Well, Thomas said, I now want to conform my life to his life. I want to live my life giving it away. I want to live out the law of the gift. And we know from the tradition that St. Thomas did that by going to India, where he was martyred for his faith. But he doesn't just call him Lord. He calls him God. What is it about dictators? They think they're God. They think they have ultimate power and that they can determine the ultimate fate of millions of people. They're delusional. Because although they can do it temporarily, they cannot do it ultimately because they're not God. And that's why we have to pray for the likes of Vladimir Putin and others. Because he's going to die soon, and he's going to stand before him, as we all will. And so we need to, in this life, understand that it's only as we understand the suffering of Christ and we put our finger in his side and we're willing to live in the way of the law of the gift that we discover who the true God is, and it is Jesus Christ himself. So on this Divine Mercy Sunday, we are invited to meditate on this painting. We are invited to meditate on the resurrected Christ whose wounds are still present. Because as St. Thomas Aquinas said, mercy is the supreme virtue through which God's omnipotence is manifested to the greatest degree. Let me say that again. Mercy is the supreme virtue through which God's omnipotence is manifested to the greatest degree. Now think of this word omnipotence. This is what it means. Omni means all. Potens means powerful. Omnipotence means all powerful. What St. Thomas Aquinas says is that in a world like this, it is the mercy of Jesus that shows the all-powerful character of God. How we are invited to grow into this understanding, not only of the mercy of Jesus, but how we are called to emulate that mercy in our own lives, to live out the law of the gift, to give our lives away for others. But it's not accidental that it's also in this gospel that Jesus talks about the sacrament of reconciliation. Because if you're honest with yourself, and if I'm honest with myself, I do not always live out the law of the gift. I do not always live in conformity with my Lord and my God. And so I need to go to confession. I need to be able to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I haven't always lived according to my profession of faith. And I'm sorry for that, and I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. I need you to help me to grow to become more like you. In the homily he gave at her canonization, Pope St. John Paul II said the following about the law of the gift. It is not easy to love with a deep love, which lies in the authentic gift of self. This love can only be learned by penetrating the mystery of God's love. Looking at him, being one with his fatherly heart, we are able to look with new eyes at our brothers and sisters. With an attitude of unselfishness and solidarity, of generosity and forgiveness. All this is mercy. Such love, such mercy, is only possible when we are willing to touch the wounds of the resurrected Christ. Such love is the greatest power in the world because it is the power of the Son of Man of Daniel chapter 7. It is the ultimate expression of God's omnipotence. It is the law of the gift expressed to all those who sincerely and wholeheartedly say with St. Thomas, my Lord and my God.